Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, and this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Glad to be here with you. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester. Max Power with us this morning. You're with us in lots of different ways this morning. Whether you're listening to us over the air, watching our video stream, or catching us on the Odyssey app, we appreciate you each and every way you take us in. You can call us at 869-1240. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app, or you can comment on our video streams or directly to us on social media. Facebook, YouTube, X, we're there. And, of course, thank you for watching us on 12 News Connected. Again, it's a busy time of the year, a lot to get to. NBA playoffs continue. One game last night to deliver an exciting ending, the other. A little revenge game for the team closest to us with Oklahoma City. In the NHL, one of Max and I's teams win and one does not. Max, I don't know what our panic meter needs to be on the game ones there in hockey, but we've got money on the line here, so we might touch on that. Shockers add a huge recruit, I think. I say huge. Relatively speaking, though, it feels like another big one. They've landed a couple that make a ton of sense, if nothing else. We'll talk about that. And Portal Paul and the work he's done, which is now, I think, nearing completion just by available spots on the roster. So we can take a deeper look at that. And Tommy, the Royals, 13 out of 15 now. Winners again last night.
14 out of 16 after last night.
In those, I don't know what it is in 16 because I saw the stat for 13 out of 15. 32 runs allowed in 15 games for this pitching staff right now. It's just been remarkable. Michael Wacha was really good again last night. Lucas Dursig was really good again last night. Carlos Estevez was not really good last night, but he got the job done, which is fine for a closer. A lot of closers don't get the job done on their off nights. That was clearly an off night, and they just are, I mean, they're pitching their tails off right now, and this has been one of the hotter of a team that's been streaky for a while and a team that was, I think, streaky in its last great run that it had. This may be the biggest heater. I'd have to really go back and look at that, but I don't remember a stretch of 13 out of 15 games. Man, that's crazy. The way that they're winning right now, and they're keeping pace in a good division, and they're taking care of the schedule, which is what we've said a billion times they'll need to do this year, because they're playing in a good division and you got to win these, you know, you got to win these winnables, and that's what they're doing. And they try to sweep the series now with some day baseball today. So it's a good time to be a Royals fan. It's a good time to be a sports fan, because we got all kinds of stuff for you. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, happy Thursday. Good to see you. You laid it all out there. There's a lot going on. Really, really busy right now. And, you know, I think the only caveat with the Royals last night, if you can think of one, is the fact that both the Tigers and the Guardians won as well. Guardians won a little bit earlier in the day. The Tigers were in a battle with the Rockies. But if you're going to go up against Colorado, more than likely you're going to beat them. And ultimately, the Tigers were able to do that. So you say the Royals keep pace. That's true. You know, eventually you'd love to see the teams in front of them drop a couple, you know, here and there. But, you know, still, they've got an opportunity for a sweep today against the White Sox. A four-game home sweep would be phenomenal, you know, against a team like the White Sox. So looking forward to it, and, you know, looking forward to jumping right in.
Yeah, we can, well, because we'll dig into the game when we have a little more time. This first segment off the top, let's start with what you just talked about in the division. So the Royals, if you just go to the last 10, which, like, when you're looking at the standings, they're, you know, they've won 8 of the last 10. Detroit, Cleveland would have 7 of their last 10. Minnesota, 6 of their last 10. I think that the Twins are not as bad as they started. They have a positive run differential. Like, in all of this, they're 3 games under 500, but they've got a positive. They've got a better run differential than the Royals. And that doesn't mean everything, but it's usually a pretty good indicator of what's going on for teams. And, oh, by the way, speaking of that number, Detroit is the best run differential in baseball, Tommy. Cleveland appears to be, you know, a really good offensive team that is struggling to pitch. I don't know if that's going to hold through. They haven't pitched well at all this year. Detroit's been one of the best offensive teams, and believe it or not, they've actually pitched just a tick better than the Royals have thus far this year. Now, not on a per-game basis. I'm just looking at the overall. But Detroit is, I mean, we thought they'd be good, right? We thought they'd grow from last year, and it was for real. I don't know if I thought they'd be this good. Like, they're insane right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it helps when you've got Tarek Skubal anchoring that rotation, and they've got really, really good young pitching behind him. And then, you know, I think one thing that people forget about quite a bit is who their manager is. I mean, it's A.J. Hinch, and, you know, he's got championship pedigree from his time with Houston for sure. And I wasn't sure we'd ever see him doing it again. And even at this level, you know, taking over a Detroit team that, you know, I think is historically underperformed and underdelivered. And, you know, that was looks to be a really great hire for them. They've come into their own, you know, towards the end of last year for sure, and especially this season so far. We'll see if they can maintain that. But at least right now, they're not really showing any signs of weakness.
Yeah, and I think had we not seen what they did last year, I'd be more prone to be like, yeah, I don't know how real this is. But it was real for at least half of a season, you know, at least half of a season a year ago, and they just kind of picked up right where they left off. I think it is for real. I think that they're very good. I'm still trying to learn a lot of their players, honestly. Like, I know, you know, they've got a lot of great young players, and you just, those series this year, and I think the next one comes pretty quick between the Royals and Tigers, are going to be a lot of fun, I think. And the next one comes in late May. So we end the month with a 3-game set with Detroit there to end this month. But it'll be fun to watch it. It'll be fun to watch both of these young teams do what they do and see. Cleveland, I'm never going to count out, because Cleveland's always there. But the division, think back, I know we've said this before, but think back 4 years ago. Who would have ever thought the AL Central would be the kind of juggernaut that's probably the best division in baseball? NL West, AL Central. You know, no disrespect to any other division, because there's some good ones. Like, it's as good. It's at least as good as any. So we'll get more into the Royals as we go along. We'll get more into the Shockers. It's a fun day. Look, Tommy, I'm excited about Shocker basketball. I got to tell you. And we've been very honest about the happenings. I'm feeling it with on paper against on paper, and it's May. Who knows? But on paper in May, I feel pretty good about it. I like this group and the way it looks. Maybe I'm crazy, but it seems good to me.
Are you able to articulate why?
Yeah, because I am. I don't know if I can do it in like 30 seconds. Well, yeah.
I can sum mine up pretty quickly. Yeah, sure. I mean, again, on paper, yeah, great. Like, we know what these guys have done at their previous stops and all of that. I have no idea how they're going to gel together, how it's going to work, all of that. And so, like, you know, sure, like, it's great that they've been able to go and fill the spots that they filled because they absolutely had to basically rebuild from the ground up. And so that's something that, yeah, you can give Paul Mills a significant amount of credit for being able to go and, you know, find guys that at least on paper look like, you know, that they can be game changers and difference makers for this team. No idea if that's actually going to go through to fruition.
Expectations are impossible. I don't know what to expect out of KU. I know that on paper it looks pretty good, but let's dig into that. We'll start there. We'll start with the Shockers. Portal Paul's been doing some work. Let's go there. Jason, we see your comment on the Royals. We'll get to that later in the hour, but we'll go a little Shockers here as they make a late addition yesterday that seems to fit. That's next on Sports Daily.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on this Thursday. A lot to get to today. We want to start with the Shockers, though, because they made an addition yesterday to kind of round things out, we think. Taylor Eldridge says that it likely finalizes their roster, pending this house settlement that's out there. But if we look at Mike Gray Jr., Tommy, let's do this first. We saw what they did with Fresno State player, right? If with everything we've seen on paper, I said to you, you know, yesterday morning, what do you think the Shockers must still and need to still add to this roster for it to be complete? What would you say?
I mean, for sure, ball handling, for sure, somebody that can, you know, be that guy. Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's what they add, which so, A, that shouldn't surprise us, but B, they go get one that makes sense from Nichols. You know, Michael Gray Jr. Did Nichols make the tourney last year? I think they might have. No, they didn't, but they have in years past. So whatever. They've been a decent program. You go get a guy who last year in his junior year took a step forward in his career in sort of a big way. 11 points. He didn't have a lot of assists. So that's where it gets a little interesting, because Taylor Eldridge calls him, and I'll trust Taylor on this stuff because he follows it closer, a scoring-oriented point guard. So it's not like he's a distributor, but he scored 11 points a game. And again, Tommy, here we go with this. Last year, he shot better than 40% from three. And that's not just on a handful, right? He was taking about five threes a game, a little more than five threes a game. So he can shoot from the outside. He can score. And it fills a role on the roster that we were still sort of waiting for. I think it, again, all of this is on paper. But I as we look at this thing as a whole, and Portal Paul, as he famously called himself, I think has done a good job. I think if we took this class and we took away like the disappointment of losing Washington and Ballard, which make no mistake was very disappointing. And you just look at like, okay, here are the pieces. Here's what they've done. The fit seems to be there. They checked a lot of boxes. It's going to be a defense first team, most likely based on the early movement there. I like the look of it and what they've done with it. And as far as like we're guessing with everybody. Like we're guessing with KU. What's Darren Peterson going to look like? What's Flory Badunga look like in a expanded role? And then it's a bunch of questions for KU. So we're guessing with everybody. There's not a lot of teams this year in college basketball that return much because of the wildness of the portal. So as we're just having to guess as much as we are, I like this right now for the Shockers. I think it looks fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that he checked the boxes and did what they needed to do to rebuild that roster. I've thought for quite a while, and I think I've even said this on the show a couple of times, that I didn't think that either one of the guys that they had on the roster that were potentially going to be point guards were going to be the point guards, or at least should be the point guards. And maybe Keandre Kendall, the Barton transfer, can show that, he's worthy of a bunch of playing time and all of that. I don't know. Both Kendall and the other, Kenyon Giles, both those guys don't provide a significant amount of height. They're both pretty short, pretty small, and that can work for sure. But, Giles is 5'9", coming out of UNC Greensboro, was effective there. And who knows, like that maybe will work. Kendall is 6 foot. They needed some size in the backcourt. They got that with Amunike, the Fresno State transfer that we talked about earlier this week on the show. And then they get it with Gray, who is 6'2". So they get a little bit of size in the backcourt, which I do think is important. And,
if you're going to be a defense first team.
And absolutely. And that's going to be the identity of the team. Anytime, you're like, okay, well, these guys, shot well from three and they're, a score first type guard. Okay, like that's great, but that's clearly not going to be the identity of this team. And so being able to have a little bit more length, see if they can have that defensive prowess from both the front court and the back court. That's what I'm going to be looking for going into this season. And they did add some pieces from a defensive point of view that absolutely should be able to improve where they've been in that regard. You know, guys like Caron Boyd, who was the conference defensive player of the year last season when he was at East Tennessee State. Jarrett Valencia, who grades out as a big-time defender, and he came over from Monmouth. So, I mean, they do have some pieces there that can absolutely help them defend. That's what I'm going to be looking for going into next season.
Yeah, when we don't know so much about the players, that's what I mean. I think that's all we can reasonably do is like, okay, what do we think this looks like next year? I think we agree. It looks like a team that's going to emphasize defense big time. And I'm good with that because I think that always raises your floor. But then, you know, for a while when we were looking at this, we're like, yeah, that looks good, but boy, they sure look like they're going to be offensively deficient at this point, right? Like, and that's okay. Like, you get ugly, you do those things. I'd rather be that than the alternative, a team that can't play any defense. But that's what makes me like these last two so much is I don't know what a starting lineup looks like. I don't know any of that stuff. Who's going to, you know, is there any distributor on the team? I don't know any of that. But what I do know is they needed guys that could score. They needed guys that could shoot. And they got a couple of guys who have done that. One of them in the Mountain West. So it's not, you know, there's not like a massive step up in competition there. Like you do it in the Mountain West. Mountain West was better league last year. And the other comes from a program that we pretty consistently see playing tournament basketball and Nichols. And so I like it. I think it all makes sense. How about that? Like it all makes sense together. I also like, and maybe I like this even more. And we talked to Kevin Saul yesterday and you know, I tried to ask as best as you can ask, like you asked for a million, you know, how's that going? And of course they're not going to, you know, they're not going to tell us exactly how much money they've raised. At least I don't think they would. I should ask. But what was the term you used? 500 times better than what he inherited, which was almost nothing. So I think the other thing that you take from the class, if you're a Shocker fan, is those efforts are paying off at least a little bit. There's no way that the last two guys, Emenike and Gray, were not coveted in the portal, at least by comparable schools to Wichita State. There's no way two guys who can shoot the three that way, as much as that's valued now in college basketball, were not, you know, I'm not saying they beat Kentucky for these recruits, but I think it's likely that they beat some teams for these guys. And that's, I think, a good sign for Wichita State and the place they have to start. Like they have to win these battles for these players in this range if they're ever going to get to adding players in the next range, which is where we all probably want them to be. But in the short term, as you lose players like Washington and Ballard, and you got to take that sting, being able to compete for the level of players that they were able to in the portal, I think is a good sign for the program. Now, of course, all the pressure is on Paul Mills and can you coach these guys up? Now, can you make what looks like a good roster on paper? I don't think there's anybody who follows Shocker basketball and follows this stuff at least moderately closely would tell you, yeah, I don't like the way that those pieces fit. I think everybody's generally pleased with it. Now you got to go turn it into wins.
Well, nobody knows. I mean, you have no idea. Like, you know, moderately right. pleased, sure. Like, every slot on the team right now, it looks like is filled. I think the only way that you would be like not moderately pleased with the roster would be if they had open scholarship positions and they weren't able to get anybody. I think
there could have been additions where we were like, oh,
like this, who and what, from where? Like what are we talking about here? Like, you know, somebody coming from like a D2, like a D2 school or a D, you know, like it doesn't have to be
I'm not trying to take anything away from players. So it's really hard, but like players that didn't produce at their prior stop and are just players.
There are a couple of guys that are additions that
there are, and I'm trying again
produce
I'm trying
at their previous
to,
school.
Like I'm trying not to go after these guys specifically, but there are. But if it was only that, right? Like if it was only that, I would be a little leery, right? I'm gonna give you another example. So last year, and this is where it's like you have two different things happening. So last year for K-State, on paper, and the way that they attacked the portal, right? I don't want to speak for anybody else. I felt great about it. I was like, man, this tells me that K-State is a player in this world, right? In this portal world. The problem is it didn't translate over to wins. Not enough anyway. So you have two different things. And you wouldn't call, I wouldn't call last year a success, but I would say that as that was being put together, it gave us a good indicator of where the program stood sort of in this NIL world. And that was in a good place, right? K-State was able to go and get a lot of high-level players. You knew they were spending money, resources. The players were committing to come play for Coach Tang. Like, all those things were good. Then you had the season started, didn't play out well. They didn't have a good enough season. It was a disappointment. So it's like there's two different things. So in that first thing, for the Shockers this year, I like what they've been able to do. I like the caliber of player they've brought in. And I think at least against their peers in the American, it's a good sign that they've been able to bring in players of that caliber. Now, of course, the much more important piece, we're not going to know until next fall. And that's how this team plays, right? I think I'm trying to look at it two different ways, because otherwise, like, we're just like, we really don't know anything until the fall. But I do think it's important for a program that had nothing in the NIL space not that long ago. I think it is important to take a look at what they're able to do and how that moves forward, because they'll never be able to get back to where they were if they're not bigger players in the portal. And I think as far as like progress of what kind of player they are in the portal, this class tells me they're continuing to make progress there. If that makes any sense.
No, yeah, I mean, it kind of does. I mean, I think that what makes it a more difficult exercise is that we don't know what each one of these players commanded in this space. We don't know. Right. And you know, until, and who knows if this will ever happen or not, but until there is kind of an open marketplace for that sort of thing, and like transparency and visibility from the top down everywhere in college athletics, where, you know, like, there are contract negotiations and this player is looking for this on the open market and they're, you know, commanding this amount of NIL dollars and revenue sharing and all of that, then we don't know. We can guess. We can guess and say, all right, the guy that they landed yesterday from Nichols that, you know, averaged over 11 points a game, whatever, it was probably fairly coveted by other teams, and we think maybe he commanded X amount of dollars from Wichita State. But we don't know that for sure. You know, you talked to yesterday, and I don't disagree with you, about how Brian Amunike from Fresno State that signed with Wichita State, you think is probably a guy that would be coveted in the transfer portal, and that teams would want his skill set. I don't disagree with you, but we don't know that for sure. So we can guess and say that, yeah, you know, Wichita State's probably a player in this market now, and they're able to win some of these recruiting battles and all of that. Clearly, they've won the battles because they've landed the players, but we don't know what happened behind the scenes. We have no idea, you know, if these other players were highly pursued by other programs or not. We can guess at it. We can, you know, make an educated guess that, you know, with what they do and how they have performed at their previous stop, that they probably were. But again, we don't know that for sure. So I'm not trying to like throw water on this at all, because, yeah, on paper, it looks really good. And the fact that they've been able to address some of the clear needs and the clear deficiencies that we knew this roster was going to have, and that Paul Mills was going to be tasked with fixing and bringing in, you know, solutions for those issues. Yeah, we can say it looks like he's been able to do that. It looks like he's been able to do that. So it's just a cautious, like, moving forward of, I'm not going to get, like, way over the top and be like, this looks amazing and I'm so excited and team should win an American Conference championship. No. And, like, we have no clue on that. So I'm not even going to, you know, go there.
I'm kind of done with the predictive nature of this. There's no way. Like, this year will be worse than ever. Right. Like, it's going to be worse than ever.
Finish in the conference. Is that what you're, it'll be worse than ever as far as their end results?
Trying to predict.
Okay.
Like,
gotcha.
It's never been more difficult.
Okay.
Right. Like, every team is starting over almost, not like across the country. So that part of it's going to be hard. I just, all I really want to know on May 8th, And I want to get excited about players, too. Don't get me wrong. I want to be excited about these players and everything else. But all I really want to know on May 8th, as the administration is pinning open letters to the fan base if we need X amount of dollars, all I want to know is that Paul Mills is able to go into the portal, contact a player that he likes and identifies, and win that battle against at minimum right now, his peers, which would be other teams at the level of the American. That's all I want to know on May 8th of 2025. On May 8th of 2026, I'd love to know that they might identify a player that's being courted by a Big 12 team heavily, and they can win that battle because Wichita State basketball means something. And in 2027, a step for, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to know that as they just lost their two key players to the portal, who you know, before that, I would have said I'd like them to be able to keep those players as they're going to be heavily courted by bigger programs. And they were Mississippi State and is it Ole Miss? Ole Miss and Mississippi State? They weren't there, obviously. So now where are they? Like, where do they stand in the pantheon of college basketball today? That's what we're trying to know. It's almost impossible to know it. So as they
I'm not sure that it's super realistic to be able to expect that consistently they're going to win recruiting battles.
Against, they're not right now.
Against Big 12. Well, you mentioned Big 12. Like against Big 12, SEC, Big 10 type schools. Consistently. Yeah, maybe every once in a while they're able to snag somebody. They're able to, and there are a caveat. Like there are a ton of different reasons why that may happen. That may not even have anything to do with NIL dollars. It could be proximity. There could be somebody that wants to come play closer to home. Like maybe there's a connection with Paul Mills somewhere. Like I you know, you never want to say never, but like I think that every once in a while, sure. Like if you really want to look at, you know, what the ceiling might be for that. Yeah, maybe every once in a while they can win a recruiting battle against a top tier program in a different conference. But I don't think that's realistic to expect that all the time.
I don't expect it, but I think there's nothing wrong with desiring Wichita State to be able to compete with Memphis, with Creighton, with some of these other similarly placed schools that do a very good job and have no problem.
But
doing
to say on, and you just
now
said
they're
this,
not there.
You just said this, but to expect that on May 8th of 2026 that they win a recruiting battle against a Big 12 school for a player, I think is unrealistic.
It's unrealistic, but I don't think it's out of the world of possibility. If they have a really good year and get the fan base fired up, it could come at any point, right? Again, this is it's a great fan base. It's a great donor base. Maybe 2027. I don't care what it is. I just want them there whenever, as quickly as they can get there to be at that standing. They're not there now.
I mean, I think that the expectation, because, and this isn't like, you know, I'm not being Debbie Downer here at all. I just think that it's realistic to point out like, hey, it could very well be that Paul Mills has to turn over his roster every single year moving forward because that's just the state of college basketball and programs like Wichita State. Like, I think that, you know, to be able to say, hey, because they signed a good amount of guys on paper going into this upcoming season, all of a sudden they're going to start winning recruiting battles against Big 12 schools, I think is kind of laughable.
That's not what I'm saying at all. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, coming up next hour. We've got all kinds of good stuff happening in the sports world. It's a busy time. It's hard to pick what you're going to watch each and every night. Each and every night, it's been fun to watch the Royals lately. 13 out of 15 games. Just keep on winning. Just keep on pitching like crazy. The run that the pitching staff is on right now is remarkable. It's as good a run as I can ever remember. And they had a great pitching staff a year ago. They finish up that series against the White Sox. They'll go for the four-game sweep. That's a 1:10 first pitch, by the way. And you will hear it here on KFH, 1 o'clock. Quick shout-out to Wichita State softball. They won the opening round. They play afternoon against North Texas. They play like 11 a.m. in the AAC tournament. But the Royals will play here on KFH. Excited to see if they can get that sweep. I hope they do now. It just like you feel greedy now. It's like, well, they got to finish the sweep today, right? Like they got it's the White Sox. They got to finish it up. But no, it's been pretty wild. And they've had, you know, a couple of games here lately where things are going their way. And that's a big part of doing something special like this. It's Bubic on the mound today, by the way, which you also feel very good about if you're a Royals fan.
Yeah, Michael Wacha pitched amazing last night. Bobby Witt Jr. hit another home run. You know, it was great. It was what we wanted to see from the Royals, at least what I wanted to see. And actually, with that win, that's 14 of 16. So, I mean, even better. Like, they've won 14 of their last 16 at this point. And so, you know, considering where they were when they started this stretch of baseball to where they are right now with the opportunity to get a sweep. And I know the schedule toughens up a little bit after this series wraps up. They've got the Red Sox and the Astros on the road and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
it toughens up a little bit. But they can absolutely, with the way that they've been playing and the way their pitchers have been throwing, they can absolutely continue this on.
You know, in June, they get Detroit, the Yankees, the A's, the Rangers, the Padres, the Dodgers are in June. Seattle starts July. They're about to hit another tough stretch, but it ain't yet. And so this is all timing out really well. Like it's all like you, if you're the Royals and you're on a heater and you're playing these teams, like this is good. Pile them up, pile up the wins. We already talked about the Tigers and what they're doing. So yeah, that's why we look at today against the White Sox. You're like, don't let your foot off the gas. Home games against Boston, Houston still struggle a little bit. St. Louis can't really score. So there's a lot there for the Royals to still go and attack here in this part of the schedule while get it while the getting's good. For lack of a better term. Bullpen last night, Estevez, let me pull up his game log. Ursig's been, we'll call it what it is. Ursig's been much better than Estevez this year. Estevez has given up runs, though, about every eight appearances. Like he's like a little bit shaky. And it was a shaky one last night. And it was starting to get a little butt pucker in there in the ninth. It was just like, he didn't look like he could get anybody out. He did get the job done. I think that's important for a closer. But he's had to do that a few times here. But that's kind of his thing, Tommy. Like he's not afraid of allowing a little traffic out there on the bases. He's done that from time to time this year.
You know, he's one of those closers, and there are quite a few that are like him, where if there's not a whole lot of drama, like they'll manufacture some drama and, you know, make the high leverage situation even higher. And then for whatever reason, with the ice water running through the veins, able to still close it out. And there have been really, really good closers over the years that have been that way, where, you know, it's not going to always be clean, but they typically will get the job done. And, you know, until Estevez gets shaky to a point to where he's blowing saves, you kind of take the good with the bad a little bit, because he's still closing out games and it's not really cost the Royals up to this point.
Yeah, no, it's been fine. Like it's a weird dynamic. I don't know if you feel this way about it or not, but like if I was power ranking right now, the Royals relievers, he for sure wouldn't be one. I'm not sure he'd be two or even three, but I'm very comfortable with him in that spot because he's done it before. Right. So it's like he's not been their best pitcher in the bullpen, but he's pitching in that coveted spot, and I'm okay with it. Like I'm fine with it for now. He just like that of all the like he just looks like he's never rattled out there, no matter what's happening. And there are nights where he's hittable. Last night was one of them, and he's able for the most part. You know, whatever the percentage is, 11 out of 13 times this year, he's able to get the job done. And he did it again last night, despite three hits allowed in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I mean his whip is high. I mean it's over 1.2, but the ERA, you know, it's not like we're talking about, you know, him allowing a bunch of runs. Like he's getting guys on base, he's allowing traffic, but they're not coming in to score. It's not really blowing games. Has Lucas Ursig been flat out nails? Absolutely. And he has really, you know, kind of solidified that eighth inning role, the setup guy for Estevez. And that's worked. That's been, you know, a really effective bridge to Estevez in the ninth inning. Like I just mentioned, Estevez is going to allow runners. He's going to make it a little nerve wracking at times. And it was not a clean outing by any means last night, for sure.
It was pretty bad. It was rough.
But you know what? Like he closed it out, and there wasn't a shutout at the end of the day. I think the thing about like Estevez, and it goes back to, you know, an often mentioned point with this team, is that can they score enough runs to be able to provide that support and a little bit of a cushion for guys like Estevez? And it was just enough for Estevez last night, but it was still enough. At the end of the day, it was still enough.
A big part, and you've pointed this out well, a big part of this streak, and Well, the biggest difference, I think, between this streak and the bad streak is the teams they're playing. But the next biggest part is a point you brought up a lot. It's being able to get to that part of the bullpen with a lead, and that and not having to hope that your offense can score late inning runs. If we look right now at the Royals relievers, Estevez, of the guys that are pitching frequently, is behind Urcig, Cruz, Lynch, and Schreiber in, and I agree, I think whip is very important for a relief pitcher, a late inning relief pitcher. He's behind all those guys. He's behind them in ERA. He's behind them in strikeout rate, I think, or right with them probably. But he's given up a lot more hits than any of those guys have. So, like, those numbers are all there, but he still has that thing that none of them do, and that's experience in the spot. And I do think that matters a lot. Like, I don't care what these other guys are doing in the earlier innings. I don't think anybody wants to see John Schreiber, who's pitching really well right now, become the team's closer. Like, Estevez knows that spot. He knows what to do. Yes, it's a little shaky. And you know what? If it gets real shaky, they got lots of options down there. But to be able to say that, though, from where we were at this point last year with that bullpen, you remember that? How bad that was? It was like, are they ever going to hold a lead? Ever? It was bad, 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 bad. And they were still winning games despite it, right? They were just really bad at the back end of games. For them to be able to attack it the way they did at the deadline and then into this offseason, to where we can now look at that bullpen and how many arms they have back there, is a wild turnaround. Like, to one of the worst to one of the best, and it all happened since July. When did they start to make those trades? June, July, whenever June. It was,
yeah,
last year.
Yeah, into June.
I mean, goodness gracious, that is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, and it from a personnel perspective, individually, I mean, remember it was James MacArthur. Like, he was the guy a season ago. And so, yeah, the question was, can anybody hold a lead for the Royals? But really, specifically, it was, can James MacArthur hold a lead for the Royals? And it was not good at this time last year. There were so many games where, you know, you felt like they had it, and then the bullpen blew the game. And it's been a complete 180 turnaround. They've been able to get out to leads and then hold those leads, and you know, due in large part to the fact that their rotation has been lights out. I mean, again, Michael Wacha, I don't think, at least for last night's game, is getting the credit he deserves. I mean, it was an absolute gem through seven innings for him. Shutout, seven innings, three hits, that was it. You know, and really held the White Sox lineup down for sure. And it allows you to shorten the game up. It allows you to not have to worry about bringing out three or four or five relievers in one game. It was two guys, and then it was just like a short little bridge right to the ninth inning. And, you know, Estevez was able to come in and close things out. So that can't be understated for sure. I mean, the fact that you're getting these kinds of outings night in and night out, again, yeah, teams that are not great. So that is true, but it's Major League Baseball. Any team can beat any team on any given night. And the fact that the rotation throughout this stretch has been so lights out, they've been able to work with the lead, turn it over to the bullpen, and the bullpen has been able to hold that lead, I mean, that's been invaluable.
It was Waka's best start of the year, for sure. His longest start of the year. And they don't have a day off this week. So that was, to your point, that's like, it is critical that he gets deep into a game. That's immensely impactful. Maybe they won't need the back end today. Jason brought this up a while ago. Jason, sorry, it's taking some time to get to it. Don't mind too much that the Royals aren't scoring a ton, but I am a little nervous that they aren't at least putting more pressure on the other teams offensively. Obviously, people that listen to the show know I agree with you on that, Jason. It's not a problem now, but it's a problem I do think that they'll have to address at the deadline. And it, you know, right now, is the pitching going to hold up to this pace? Probably not, because they won't be playing some of these teams, but they just need to be consistent. And I think that they will be. I also think the difference a little bit right now between now and when they were playing in the bad streak, because they haven't really scored runs at any point this year. That's not changing probably until something happens with the roster that will come down the road. One of the big differences to what we were just talking about, the bullpen has really settled into roles now that they weren't in. How many of those games did Zerpa cost them? You know what I mean? Like, so I think if you took like the now more defined bullpen roles and guys in their comfort spots and picked that up and placed it in that earlier part of the season, they wouldn't have all been losses. And so I think, look, the offense is a problem right now, but it's not a bad enough problem that they're not winning games, and they're not going to, like, there's nothing to do about it. Like, they're just, it's going to be the offense until they get to the point where they're able to make a move.
Luis Robert was out. Or until they get to the point to where they start losing games because of their offense.
Right. And I hate to think about it that way, because that just makes me think about the daunting schedule of June. Like, I hope before that part of the schedule comes that you'll see more progress from some of the bats that are currently in the lineup. I don't think that's the end game, where I thought maybe a month ago that could be the end game, is just everyone needs to kind of start doing what they, I don't know that I'm there anymore. Like, I don't know that everyone doing what they're supposed to is going to be enough, but it might be enough. It'll be enough right now because they still play a softer schedule. But my whole point with all of it all week has been, I don't think that's going to be enough for October. And so they've got to make that move. We'll come back. We'll get into it a little bit more in hour number two. Tim Fitzgerald in hour number two. We got a giveaway for you. Stick around. More Sports Daily right after this.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A
monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.